time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good evening, all you people out there, and welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 4th. Holidays today. It's International Beer Day. Nice for a Friday. It always works out. It's also first Friday in August, of course, is International Beer Day, National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, National Water Balloon Day, and U.S. Coast Guard Day. Birthdays today, you got three of them. Dean Malenko, Suicide, and Frankie Kazarian are all celebrating birthdays today. Pink Link's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. One last plug, and then we'll get into it. I'll introduce the cast and crew. Interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater or officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at Rock City Roller Derby. RockDerbyRecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. And that's what I will be doing tomorrow morning, instead of doing the pain clinic at 10 a.m. So welcome to the show. I'm your humble host, the Cashman. I'm joined by Danger Boy. Danger, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Can't complain at all.
Yay. I like your shirt, man. Were they flamingos?
They are flamingos.
There you go. And we're also joined by the artiste, Rob Sanderson. Rob, what's up?
Good morning. Good evening. Hello. Someplace. I'm here. It's been a long day, but I'm here now.
I appreciate that.
My team's not here, but I'm here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's been a long day. Yes, I would say the same thing. I just ran from doing one show to run home so I could do the next show. So, yay, lots of fun. But also SmackDown is going on at the same time, too, having some sort of crazy battle royale or something going on. But welcome to a Friday night edition. I hate to tell you, but we're going to have to do it even earlier next week, probably Thursday. I'm just putting the warning out ahead just because I'm going to be in Ohio all weekend at a giant tournament. So, and hopefully it's the last thing that'll get in my way for a while on the show. But we got a lot of things to talk about. It is Friday night, so we're getting SmackDown. That's why it took me forever to get the lineup for SummerSlam because we still got another show that's going to be on TV or it's on right now that probably can affect, I'm guessing, the lineup. But I think I got it pretty good figured out already. But so we all doing good tonight. It's interesting.
Maybe you have it more figured out than WWE does.
Well, I have
building up some good storylines, and then we don't have room for you on SummerSlam.
Yeah, I heard that Becky Lynch was not happy about that.
I don't blame her at all. I mean, how long has that storyline been built up compared to some of the other ones? That to me, that's one of the first ones that gets a spot if I'm in charge of the booking and those decisions. I like that they're not doing marathon shows. They're trying to keep pay-per-view shorter and stuff and all that. But I mean, you build something up like that. I'm sure there are people going to Detroit expecting to see that match. And now they got to wait, 2 weeks for it to happen in Winnipeg on Raw.
Yeah. Is it going to be a cage match? I know that they were talking about it at one time. So, or maybe it was a Hell in a Cell that Trish was asking for. I don't know. But yeah, I saw that. I saw the video of Becky Lynch kind of like losing her cool back in the backstage, but that was because it was a WWE program. I think she probably knew well in advance that match wasn't going to be on there, which is kind of a bummer because you're right. It's a, I mean, you know, what do you pair off to? We'll go through it later. I promise you that we will. But I want to talk about, you know, yes, we got SummerSlam coming up. We'll go through it at some rate coming up. But I think, you know, even though it's SummerSlam, why is AEW coming out with like doing all this stuff this week to occupy shows like us so we don't talk about SummerSlam the whole time? Danger, what do you think? You see, like, the Elite re-signed, you know, all of them. I guess that's all four of them now, right?
Yeah, it's all four of them. I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I really didn't see them not re-signing. So I don't see as big a deal of this as it's been made out to be. Maybe the length, maybe because it's, you know, supposedly 4 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't really see, like, I don't know why it was so blown up. I didn't feel they were ever going to go anywhere else.
You know,
I mean, I think with that, it's the surprising part to me was that they had made a pact that whatever decision they make, all four of them were making together. They were all staying or they were all going to WWE, which, you know, obviously we didn't get to the point where WWE had a chance to at least officially negotiate anything. And I don't know. I mean, the word is that, and obviously WWE is interested in all of them. I would assume Kenny Omega by far number one on that list, as he should be. But I think that's big for AEW because it's one of the three letters in that name. Like, they're a big part of it. And obviously you already lost Cody in that mix. And I can't picture that company without them. So glad to see they re-signed because that's, you know, as much as some things have evolved in WWE, you're not going to see those guys. Like, maybe Hangman could wrestle fairly similar to what he does, but you wouldn't see the same matches out of Omega and the Bucks.
No.
Or at the same time giving them or anything. They're different products. It's apples and oranges. Not saying that it's a bad thing necessarily. Yeah. It's just not. You're not going to see a Tiger Driver 91 in a 50-minute-long match.
No.
You know, like, it's just not going to happen there.
Yeah, and I think the Elite would disappear. But, you know, they did mention them. Didn't they mention – did I saw somewhere in the press release that they mentioned that they chose AEW? I guess assuming that there was a choice. Obviously, you can't tamper with contracts. I understand that, but – doesn't mean you don't have common friends who, like, say, hey, these guys want you. And they're like, oh, okay, you know.
They knew that there was interest on that side. I mean, that's easy enough to communicate that there's interest. And, hey, like, when the time is right, when we can, please, you know, make sure they get in touch with me or whatever. Like, kind of thing. So,
yeah, well, remember John Cena posted Kenny Omega's picture before the Royal Rumble about 3 years ago, I think it was. You know, I mean, that, do you remember that, Danger?
Oh, yeah. And Kenny Omega, honestly, the only one I could see that they would even use to any kind of potential, how the fans or anybody would want them to be used, is Omega. I can't see them. I can't see anything with the Bucks. It's not even just the fact that I can't see. What tag teams do they have that they push heavily other than maybe one or two? So it's just, I don't see how that would have been a thing. I understand they had their pact and it was the four of them going, and it was, I don't know if it was unanimous, but it was at least 3-1. So, you know, the only one I see that would have worked out well for would have been Omega, financially, probably more so than creatively, but you know, it's a thing. Yeah. But everyone knows each other. They all work the indies together at some point at this, you know, the older crowd is phased out at this point.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I mean, if they ever, the way I always envisioned they would have used the Young Bucks would have been like kind of like too cool, you know? I mean, they would have like these gimmicky matches where they do these gimmicky moves and, you know, and they get over big time. They always were big, you know, but.
I don't think they would put them to a level of Max and Jeremy Buck. Just because I think WWE has evolved a little bit, but yeah, they're not gonna have that same kind of creative freedom. They're not gonna have as long of matches. They're not gonna be putting thumbtacks on the bottom of a shoe. Yeah. It just wouldn't be the same thing. I I'd like to think that, you know, had things gone differently, that there's a chance Kenny Omega could have been WWE champion. You know, I think he's that good, and I think the people over there would recognize that enough that they know that he's got the look, he's got the ability, he's got the fan base, all that kind of stuff, that I'm sure I think that's something he would have pulled off if he had gone there. But yeah, I think the other ones would have gotten lost in the shuffle. So, or maybe the Bucks come in and they do a little feud with Kevin and Sammy or something like that, and then they just fade back into this like tag team mid card, whatever. So yeah. I think it's the right decision for them. I mean, there's a secondary promotion that, you know, they helped start, their name is in it, and that is where they belong. And if there's issues with being there, then I think that's something that, you know, as executives, they have to address, they have to bring up, they have to work on with Tony Khan, all those kinds of things, stuff like that. If there were other reasons for them to maybe consider going somewhere else, you know, but they're as big of a part of that company as anybody else. And yeah. Like I said, I just can't, if we had gotten to a point where those guys were gone, and then you've got some punk walking around with a spray paint X through the E on a belt that he has no business walking around with, that he's never defended in two reigns, or now if this counts as a third, whatever. Like if he was there and none of the Elite were, like, just not that, that's not the company that was started. Years ago, whatever.
No, and I think that I'm guessing the Elite were always going to stay, but it didn't hurt having their name bailed around about, you know, possibility of, you know, doing something else, you know. I don't know. It's good. I mean, and you know, I mean, Adam Page has got probably, you know, a main event run in his life where he'll be a champion for a while with some company. It could be, you know, I mean, he did do it. He was too brief, though, with AEW, but I think he's so young that he's got, like, a lot of time to, you know, get to that point. But he's definitely going to be an Elite, you know, wrestler.
Wasn't a very memorable title run, and I certainly would assume that he'll have another one. I think, you know, when we get to the end of these long-term contract extensions, I wouldn't be surprised if at that point he's the only one that signs again, and the other guys might just be done wrestling, maybe just move into office roles or something like that. You know, they're not old guys by any means, but they've certainly had a toll taken on their bodies of a lot of the stuff they've done, and have accomplished arguably everything they're going to in that company. So
true. Yeah.
Very much like what I'm seeing on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, I'm a little bit behind because I just started it right before we started the show. So,
oh, I did too. I just went right to live though because I'll just catch up on the other stuff later.
I was going to say they had the Sheamus match with LA Knight to start the show. We're doing it live, folks, even though I'm on delay right now. But yeah, Rob, you kind of brought up the guy with the X. I was shocked when I saw that on Saturday, to be honest with you. I mean, until he put the spray paint on it, then it's like, oh God, it's like,
I wasn't shocked because I figured that was the only thing that would be in that bag. And I was just hoping that was not the case. Obviously I don't like him. That's been established for nearly 20 years on this show. Yeah. That being said, I don't care who it is. I would absolutely hate this recycled storyline with anybody. It has nothing to do with it being him. It's so the real world champion. And then you're putting that on the match graphic and stuff. Stop. That is not the championship.
No.
He was injured. Again, both of his title reigns ended without any defenses. He's lost singles matches since coming back. He has no claim to that whatsoever. It's stupid. And Collision does not need their own champion. I do not want to see them create a new one or do something with this one. Like, I don't know where they go from here, but if this is the best I've ever felt about the FTW title, because that means more than that trash with a spray paint on it.
You know, I just want to say I knew what was in the bag. Yes. But the way, you know, it's like how, I just wonder how long he was going to lug that around until he actually pulled it out and then pulled the dual belts. You know, it's like, wasn't it like a Razor Ramon, Shawn Michaels, both being the Intercontinental Champion at one time in WWE a long time ago? they kind of did those, and we've seen that a bunch of times. You're right. It's a recycled storyline, you know.
Is this going to go in the record books? I mean, it shouldn't, but this fact, again, that they're, like, advertising it as a title match tomorrow, which also, like, I understand, like, bringing in special appearances and stuff, but, like, Punk's like, oh, Shivani, why don't you tell him who the special guest referee is? Like, Shivani should know that at that point. But he does, and then he reveals it, and then they go. The camera goes to Ricky Starks, who's just like, "Okay, like, what's the big deal about Ricky Steamboat standing on the outside of the ring? This isn't like going to hurt. Like, I mean, I guess if it's like, oh, Ricky can't use the ropes, but like, come on, it's not. He's not necessarily the heel in this. This isn't really like a big disadvantage for anybody. I don't get it. I like Ricky, but I." Of everything we've got, like, tonight and tomorrow, and like, I don't care about that match at all because not my champion.
They're throwing it on just to put it against SummerSlam, obviously, you know.
Well, and I will, like, they have to, you can't just take the week off. And I feel like there have been times in the past where they've been preempted or whatever, and like the card has gotten worse. And maybe that's led to this gradual downfall of Rampage and how insignificant it was for a while. I think it's gotten a little bit better in some ways, and I like the card for tonight. But, like, it's just you can't, especially when you're selling tickets to it as a standalone show and stuff like that, like, you've basically got to ignore the SummerSlam thing. The problem is this is going to be happening all the time. It just happens to be that the first time this is happening, it's against WWE's second biggest pay-per-view of the year,
yeah,
or at least what used to be. And I don't know. I'm interested to see how the ratings go, but if I'm them, I mean, especially because so many people can or will anyway watch it on DVR, no reason to give them less of a show than normal. So I just think it's less of a show because that's a stupid match.
Yeah, yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I'll eventually see it, but I have a feel. Well, I've got roller derby till like 9:30 tomorrow night, so I'm going to miss a bunch of SummerSlam, which is fine. You know what? I think it's interesting that they did put the Ricky Starks Punk match. I didn't. I'm surprised actually, but I think that. I'm trying to think of where was I going with that thought, because I'm getting distracted by Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. So we'll go through that lineup eventually here. But, I was shocked by CM Punk pulling the belt out. Then when he turned it into the NWO, when he spray painted it, you know, and he made the title Straight Edge, so he's going to be the Straight Edge champion. It's like, okay, To me, it feels like a complete split of the brand, and without a doubt. I mean, it's just, they're, you know, WWE has a brand split, but they recap each other's shows during the other shows. I think that's what's happening with this, and they probably will make it a championship eventually. Which, Danger, what do you think? I mean, did that shock you? I mean, I was a little bit shocked just because I thought they were going to drag it on longer. It's like, oh, you can go a long time with this before you have to actually show what's inside it. But
it was the exact anniversary of Bobby Heenan doing it with Ric Flair's belt.
Okay.
That's where they went. That's why they did it that day. It's because it's the exact same thing. And it was the real world champion. It was Ric Flair with a big gold belt on WWF TV.
Which at least that was like a guy coming from a different company. It's a belt from a different company. Like, that to me, like, makes more sense than this. This just doesn't, like, there's no reason for this. And the spray paint thing is not original. I don't know. Like, what happens after tomorrow? Like, does he defend it successfully? Like, Ricky Starks is going to win his first world title, being the real world title with spray paint on it. And then after Punk beats him tomorrow, then what? Like, just going to keep carrying it around. And then, like, maybe eventually they'll let MJF be like, dude, you're not the champ. I guess we have to wrestle. Like, I just, I hope he loses that. Well, he's probably not using the bag anymore.
No, but he doesn't need to. He'd probably be wearing it, you think, if he comes out. So I think that, but one thing is Punk did address MJF in that promo he cut when he was, he's like, said, what do you call him, a steroid freak on the other show or whatever? Is claiming he's a champion now? Or I can't remember the exact terminology, but it was a nice shot at MJF, though. And it's like, I think that, yeah, maybe, but I see it splitting. It just, it seems like it's too logical that, you know, those guys, and Albert Keith Starks will always be a collision guy. FTR will always be collision guys. There's a whole hand.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he holds that title for a month and then they merge him at All Out, because you have a week to build All Out after All In.
That's true. That's another thing, too, is they're just finally, and that's another thing that happened this past Wednesday, was we finally got some match announcements. You know, well, and not only that, we got RVD, man. I don't know.
Well, we got Walk too by Pantera, which is the better part of that, because RVD is a little up there.
He had that generic one.
Why is that match happening next week? Like, save it for the pay-per-view. I don't
remember. We talked.
I understand, like, TV shows are just as important as pay-per-views too. These companies these days, but there's no reason to give that away next week.
We also found out it is available on regular pay-per-view. It's not going to be Bleacher Report. It's going to be regular pay-per-view as well.
Interesting. Well, it's interesting that, that Rob comes back and it's like, and that's, remember last week we were talking, it's like, didn't they just meet face-to-face in the ring last week? And it's like, oh, well, we're going to do it again. Or aren't we? Oh, we're going to have Jerry Lynn bring out Rob Van Dam, who, you know, has said he's ready to wrestle or he can wrestle or whatever. I thought he was under a WWE Legends contract. I was pretty sure that he went into the Hall of Fame, not last year, but the year before. And actually, he was on the Royal Rumble that year when he went into the Hall of Fame, too, I think. So. But maybe he's not on a Legends contract, because I know you just can't do that when you're – I was wondering about the legalities of that. You know, do you have to sign a Legends contract to get into the Hall of Fame? You know, so – but I don't know. People loved him. I mean, they knew him. I mean, they definitely did – reacted to him well. They got a good – you know, I was scared that we were going to hear Goldberg's music. I swear to God, right before that happened, it's like, oh, this is where he's going to introduce somebody. I thought it was going to be Tommy Dreamer for a second, too, but it was RVD, and you know, RVD doesn't wrestle a lot anymore, so
no, but he can still go. I mean, they can still put on a good enough match, so I don't I'm not like super excited about it, but I'm totally fine with it. And I think it's cool to have RVD add yet another company to his long resume at this point, so.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it brought back a lot of memories. I mean, he definitely was, RVD, I don't know, very enough to be a Hall of Famer for the WWE. I mean, where do you feel about that, Danger? I mean, is RVD, like, is he better than Edge?
Well, I mean, at the time Edge first retired, I'll give him at this point he is. But, RVD, the Hall of Fame's so watered down, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
There's people in the WWE Hall of Fame that have never wrestled for the WWE, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I accept some of that, them becoming more of a world body type of thing, you know, but I don't
think. And give me a physical Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, might as well, you know, go the extra mile. They have a warehouse. It's close. You can go, I guess you can go in it too. So it definitely is, you know, I think there's a lot of money writing. When you get those Legends contracts, you're really not getting a lot, maybe enough to live on, who knows. But, I can't imagine, maybe Rob didn't sign one. He just went in, you know, I always thought that was a prereq.
After his Impact run though.
That's right. I forgot. It was after his Impact run. So, but yeah, I don't know. It was, so what'd you think of AEW Dynamite this week overall as a show? We got a title change at the end. Sheeta walks off with the title. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think she is a great wrestler. You know, and remember, I keep forgetting that she did hold that title during the COVID, the pandemic, you know, yeah. those months that they were in Jacksonville, you know.
I wish they would have built her up a little bit more for this match, because she hasn't really been around all that much, but as soon as they mentioned that it was the main event, and then you saw how much time was left and everything, like, it just is, you know, with it being the 200th Dynamite, it was like, okay, this is happening. And I don't know, like, it's another, it ends up being another kind of quick run for Toni Storm, but I feel like maybe this is, I feel like it's probably a decent chance this is a transitional champion. And, you know, we'll have to see, like, does this now open the door up for her to defend against Saraya at Wembley? But in that case, like, Saraya is going to get cheered. So I don't know. But I mean, she's really good. So I have no issues with that whatsoever. And overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. I mean, really like those tag teams in that ROH tag title match. The Anything Goes match was fun. I wasn't really looking forward to it. Guevara and Garcia, it really enjoys the tag team. We'll see where that whole thing goes. And
they got they got matching outfits now, man. They can.
And the best part of the night, though, was seeing Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, and Jay Lethal
doing the Elite. Yeah, that was fantastic. That
loved it.
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
as much like when that whole group came together at first, it was just like, "What are you doing? Why? What?" Like, and they're so entertaining. Like, I have no issues with them being on TV at this point at all.
I saw a lot of tweets saying that you know these guys are gold on TV when, you know, and they came out, you know, I thought it was great. It was a lot of fun.
He's not the best in the ring yet. He's still got a ways to go there, but he can still do some fun stuff. So it's funny seeing like little Brody on his shoulders after the show on Wednesday night when the crew came out to thank Tony. And I can only imagine being like 11 years old and being on the shoulders of somebody that's like 19 feet tall.
Yeah. Oh my God. By the way, what'd you think of the recap video? We got some really good Brody Lee stuff on it. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was nice to acknowledge that stuff. And I also was really happy to see simple things like the tunnels back. Like, I wish those would just stay. Little things like that. I don't know. We've become, especially in WWE, it's become such a, let's just get more LED screens world. And like, I like some of the physical elements like metal tunnels or backlash hooks or whatever. So,
So we got Jeff. I said, hate that the Outcasts are basically dead in the water now.
I don't think they are. I mean, one of them might be because she got called out quite a bit this week. I mean, we'll see. I don't know what happens with Tony from here. Like I said, I would assume if Saraya, like, I think they're being very cautious with Saraya because of that, like, illness that she has that kind of pops up and it's tough to predict. And then if it pops up, she can't really wrestle and stuff. So it's tough to book a match of hers too far out, or feel confident that it's going to happen once it is booked. But, I mean, that being said, she has to wrestle at Wembley if she's healthy to do so, especially with there being no hater.
Well, you know, the WWE would just make them the host of the event. They could do that with her, you know, and then never come out for a segment or something, you know?
There are a lot of mixed opinions on her for a lot of various reasons, and some of them are valid. But I feel like she deserves to have a match on that show. There are certain people that I just feel like have to be on that card. And then there's a lot of others that either get thrown into a battle royal or don't make the cut or whatever the case is. But to me, she's one of the top priorities to get on that show. You have to, with it being London.
Yeah. You know, just watching some great joint manipulation on TV. Just wanted to say that, Pete Dunne there, whatever his name is. I agree. And it's like, you know, he may not, you know, be a friend, you know, she may, you know, be dating kind of a goofball douchebag. So I didn't say it. I just read it, you know.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's trash. Ronnie Radke, trash.
I think she must have been dating one of the guys.
R-A-D-A-E. R-O-N-A-L-D. Trash.
There we go. Okay. I was going to say, yeah. He's just, yeah. I follow her Instagram, but she's like, she's hot and cold with that too. She'll like have a whole bunch of stuff and then nothing for a long time. And then she'll throw up a video of her playing video games or something. But so let's talk a little bit about SummerSlam. It's SummerSlam weekend. I might as well go through the lineup and see if there's anything that, you know, we love, and then we'll get some news pieces and get out of here. I don't want to keep you guys too late, and I've been talking for like, I don't know, the past hour, 2 hours now. So, and I've got 3 games to announce tomorrow, so I have no voice. But they have a Slim Jim SummerSlam Battle Royale. It's going to be on. And that's what's replacing Trish versus Becky. So I didn't even know. I saw the graphic for it for a second there. There's like, what do you say? Everyone loves a battle royale, right?
Well, they started. It's the LA Knight get over time is what it's going to be. Unless someone comes back who we're not expecting at all, who isn't taking bumps currently, apparently. Unless he comes back, it's the LA Knight get over special. And then Slim Jim attached her name to it this week.
Yeah, and apparently since Slim Jim, yeah, I saw Slim Jim. We're going to have some Macho come out, you know? I don't know. Well, you can't, but I mean, you know, they can do something. Maybe you can show like an old commercial with Macho doing the Slim Jims. I don't even care about that. I won't see it till I probably see it in the replay. Ronda Rousey versus Shayna Baszler. A lot of, and it's an MMA rules match. So we're going to get a tap out to finish it. You know, Ronda will try to go for the arm bar, but there's a lot of rumors about Ronda not being with WWE after this match.
You know, I really have had no interest in this match. And then they did the video packages on Monday, and it was the best video packages that they've ever done on Ronda or Shayna.
Yeah, Shayna was great, you know, talking about
Shayna was fantastic.
Yeah. I was really impressed with, you know, the storytelling and stuff like that in that package. So, yeah, so. Like I said, Ronda's probably going to be hightailing it for a while. You know, I don't know. Maybe she's done forever. It could be forever. I don't know. It's not a great run, though, I will say, for this last run, you know. But when you have guarantees in your contract that, you know, and you're on TV every week, and it doesn't hurt that your name is Ronda Rousey, but I heard she's going to go back and fight actually one last fight for a UFC. So
I've heard that rumor as well, because they are lacking in face value on the women's side of the UFC stuff. Yeah. But I've also heard that's completely false.
Well, I guess we'll find out. She'll get some time with her kids at least. George cannot wait for this match. So I don't think it's gonna be a long one, George. I'll say that. We got Gunther with the Imperium versus Drew McIntyre, which actually there's another one that, you know, Trish and Becky, the storyline's gone longer than these guys' issues, you know? I mean, Gunther did wrestle Drew McIntyre and Sheamus at WrestleMania, but I can't count that as a program with Gunther. This is, you know, and then they brought him back, a couple weeks ago, and now Drew's, like, thrown right into it. I like what Gunther's doing. I don't, you know, but this match could have been.
I kind of would rather watch him and Gable again. That was very good on Monday as well.
Yeah, I forgot that. Gable's an incredible wrestler, you know.
His stalling Germans are fantastic.
Like, Gunther's not losing. Is that okay for McIntyre to, like, have another like, is this actually good for him to be in that match? Like, just to take another loss? I don't know. But, I'm fine with that match being the show. I mean, I guess what I would say is, like, these matches that aren't making the card, like, AEW pay-per-views are very long. WWE ones feel like the right amount of time. However, the amount of time that they put out there, you've got to watch all those stupid video packages that have nothing to do with that night's pay-per-view. You can squeeze in another match or on the pre-show or whatever. Like, you could still do more and not make it seem too long, not even go later into the night. Well, that's my thing. I don't care about seeing some like 3-minute video montage on some person who wasn't good enough to be on the pay-per-view or something.
Well, you know, there's rumors floating around. We've talked about it before. Certain cousin of Roman Reigns might be making an appearance just because Hollywood's on strike right now. I'm surprised. Actually, they really haven't built up any sort of teasing or anything, so it probably won't happen. But maybe that's a reason they cut a match off, too, is they're going to have him show up, and then he's going to get on the mic for 8 minutes and, you know, roast everybody in the place, you know, set up a match, an eventual match. Someone had talked to Rock recently about the head of the table, and he actually made some comments about it, about how, you know, Roman thinks he is or whatever, and it's like I thought it was interesting that he talked storylines, and Rock is very, very into wrestling still, so... He said he watches it every week. So, and it's not saying anything, but that could be a reason they're taking maybe a match off this. Next up, we got Ricochet and Logan Paul. You know, they're going to have some sort of insane moment in the match, and which I look forward to, man. I like, you know, I mean, Logan Paul seems to be a bump machine, you know. Danger? You care?
I mean, it'll be probably about 10 minutes long. They'll probably... do all sorts of athletic stuff. It'll be fun to watch, but in the end of the day, we won't remember it next week unless Ricochet wins somehow. And then we'll be like, since when does this happen?
It's, well, Logan Paul's like lost every match he's been in. You know, I mean, did they say, well, eventually you're going to have to win one on this contract, or are we just going to have you lose?
I don't think he actually has to ever win a match. He's going to be a heat magnet no matter what. And he can do the moves, so.
He does have a contract, so. I'm just saying it's not over after this, that's for sure. Maybe he'll just only show up for the big ones. Looks like dudes are, like, going heel on SmackDown, man. I'm behind. What were they called? The Profits.
Street Profits.
Street Profits came out in suits and, like, just started, like, wailing on AJ Styles and his gang.
Don't worry, they have someone else with them as well.
Oh, yeah, I know. I saw when they were on the phone with them or something, or what was it, backstage? Okay, let's go. So we got Ricochet, Logan Paul. Yeah, there'll be one great, you know, maybe a couple great bumps in the match, and, you know, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We got Roman.
That will open the pay-per-view.
That's going to open it? Okay, well, is Logan...
Logan Paul's got to get out of there to go...
to another fight? Wow, that's the second time it's happened now. He gets the first match so he can go home. Oh, yeah, there we are. Bobby Lashley came out. I know I'm behind. I like the group, man. Good. Maybe they'll stomp people. We got Roman Reigns against Jey Uso. I don't think there's any chance on this planet Jey Uso is winning the title. How do you feel? Danger.
I think it's just more for what's the next step after this, because they have to do something to revigorate it after this. Like, Jay's getting over like crazy, and he gets a great reaction tonight on the show. You haven't gotten there yet, but what's next? Because there has to be something next. That's always been, you know, they've always done pretty well following up on what's next without it going completely stale. Well, this is starting to fall off a little bit.
Yeah.
It's had 2 weeks of them doing face-to-face the exact same thing.
Well, you know, there's still another Uso brother we haven't seen in a couple of weeks that, you know, maybe could side with Roman and then cause more issues that they keep fighting each other over. I don't know. I think there's a lot of places to go.
There's an Uso father that could show up. Lots of things could happen.
Yeah. So, but I don't think there's any chance on this planet Roman Reigns dropping the title. So I think
would Rock even actually do an appearance of, like, I don't know. I mean, everybody's got different opinions on what helps and doesn't and stuff, but like the solidarity of the writer's strike and stuff, like I could see him also just not appearing for that. But
yeah, and
I could see him getting a solo turn tomorrow, but you're not getting a new champ.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. We got a three-way for the WWE Women's Championship. Asuka versus Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair.
Why is this on the show over a Rhea Ripley match or that Becky match?
Yeah, no, I don't see Rhea Ripley on this pay-per-view, nor do I see...
She's not.
Nor do I see Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Well, Kevin Owens is hurt.
Yeah, I know he's hurt, but he still came out and performed hurt the other week, you know, and he definitely was still hurt. You know, he was hurt when he was on. But I don't see him on there anywhere. Yeah, there's a lot of people missing. I saw that. The only reason I bring that up is because I saw you see all these stories and interviews, and there was one with Kevin Owens and about how mad he was. They left him off WrestleMania 35, which that's back when they were doing those marathon ones. And I don't see him on this one. This SummerSlam is, like you say, Rob, the second largest pay-per-view of the year. Yeah, no Rhea Ripley. I don't know. People love Rhea Ripley.
You can definitely imagine that she'll still make an appearance with stuff involving her group, but still, there's no excuse. Like, to me, she's like almost tied for like top star in the company at this point.
Yeah.
With how popular she is, but also heel. Like, there's no excuse for her to not have a match on the show. I don't give a crap about Logan Paul, Mr. I've had two singles matches in my life, getting a match on the show.
Oh, I agree. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of them here that I...
Sorry, three singles matches.
Yeah, three, okay. I was going to say, I'm making a prediction, probably not, but I think this isn't the last time these three ladies take each other on, and maybe Asuka will retain the championship, and then Charlotte Flair finally get that series with Bianca Belair. Or maybe Bianca Belair will win. She's obviously one of the best women in the WWE.
I'm thinking Asuka retains and Bianca Belair, and Charlotte takes the pin, so Bianca Belair can get that attitude more adjusted towards what her husband's going towards now.
And she has been that way. She's done some heel moves. She's attacked people.
I think it's going full on.
Yeah, she's attacked people when a match was going on, so... That's what I noticed about that. It's like, yeah, they're easing into it. We got Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for that new World Heavyweight Championship that I've also heard way too much about in interviews this week about, things, how some of the fans are like calling him the Unchampion or whatever when he comes out. They're like chanting it at him. Or I think it was Unchampion or something like that. And he was taking offense to it, But I don't care, to be honest with you. Finn Balor's a great wrestler, so is Seth Rollins. It'll probably tear the house down, but I don't care. I don't think Seth Rollins will lose either.
I think Finn's walking out with that title.
Really?
Yeah, I do too. But I mean, also if I were Seth Rollins, I might have declined to win that title in the first place. You're in a no win situation holding that participation trophy.
Yeah, so. It is. You can't talk about the champion because that's Roman Reigns, right? He's on another show, and you're not going to be able to wrestle him while you're on this show. So it's like, it's stupid. They should have just stripped him of both of them and then just had tournaments on each show. You could have at least made TV more exciting, But no, I just make up a new one and give it to him, just like how Triple H got that one that Eric Bischoff handed to him. The old WCW heavyweight,
the big title. Gold belt.
Yeah, that big old one. So then we got Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar in the last of the three matches. This is the one to break the tie, and we've seen Cody Rhodes beat up, I think, every week in the last few weeks by Brock Lesnar at some point during the show. He did get some good shots in on him. I'll give him that this week, but I don't know. I don't really care. And obviously Cody's big, his song's big. The people sing along with his song. They love the tattoo. It's on the shirts everywhere. He's like in marketing overdrive with WWE compared to what he was doing in AEW. It's like super duper marketing overdrive. He's like if he doesn't beat Roman Reigns for that title, then it's a failed campaign for him. But I think Cody Rhodes obviously wins that. We don't see Lesnar for a while, hopefully.
I think it's super obvious that Cody wins that match, but then that makes me nervous that this is one of those times where they get it wrong just to try to shock people or something.
Well, there's also been talk that this is where the rumored return might happen with Mr. Wyatt.
Ah, I've heard that too. I thought I've heard something about that, and yeah. Oh, interesting. That would be good. I guess we'll see. No LA Knight on the show.
He's in the Battle Royal.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. There's a Battle Royal with 20 people I don't have the whole list of. So,
which is the way it should be.
Yeah, that's SummerSlam for you, folks.
Let's have more Battle Royals where we don't know everybody that's going to be in it at a time.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly looking at Tony Khan as well when I say that. So
winner gets a pack of Slim Jims.
I mean, as much as like everybody's like, oh, we need matches for All In. And I was one of those people too. Like I kind of agree with what Bully Ray had said at one point. It was just like, don't announce anything. Just let every entrance be a surprise and get those pops and like just do it kind of old school like that, like an old ECW show.
That's what ECW used to do. They announced one match on their pay-per-view and then you just get,
to be fair, we didn't know who was getting arrested or poached off the card or anything card that week, so you didn't know who was available.
You know, we get at least a 5-10 minute Sandman walking around the crowd drinking beer with the fans and listening to that Enter Sandman looped on the PA system. But
at least we don't have to deal with the Sandman entrance at Wembley. God, that would take 8 years.
Right up there with that bad Iron Sheik one, you know, it's like never made it into the ring for the gimmick battle royale. So let's talk some news before we finish this up. I know, believe it or not, we've been going almost 45 minutes already. We do send our condolences out to the family of Adrian Street. He passed away July 24th at the age of 82. He died. He was having brain surgery. He recently had brain surgery and died in the hospital. So, Adrian Street. If you don't know who Adrian Street is, Adrian Street was actually before me. I remember Adrian Street in the magazines and stuff, but I never saw Adrian Street wrestle. I just knew about the, you know, who's the guy that died in the van accident in WWE?
Adrian Adonis.
When they made Adrian Adonis do the makeup and stuff, that was because that's what he was doing down in Florida or whatever, you know, you know, he came out and, you know, he became like kind of like a non-gender, you know?
And Adrian Street, if you go back long enough, there is a picture of Adrian Street with his family over in England. And that was actually an inspiration for Elton John's more flamboyant character.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's like very influential. Made a lot of people's gear, too, I heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. That was where I knew him from when I was much younger. He did a lot of gear, him and his wife, Miss Linda.
Yeah, he was, rest in peace, Adrian Street. And, they'll probably do now one of those Dark Side of the Rings on him or something. So we'll get, like, at least the history because he does have quite an influential history in a lot of wrestlers, you know. And like I said, in the last few years, he was making everyone's gimmick, their outfits and stuff. So, but.
Side note.
Yeah.
Dark Side of the Ring should never, ever bring Vince Russo back on for anything.
Oh, God. I didn't see it. What was he on? Oh, the Bash at the Beach?
Bash at the Beach.
Oh, man.
And they also shouldn't have Jeff Jarrett go, some people call me Double J and some call me the Last Outlaw. No one calls you the Last Outlaw. You are Double J.
That's J E double F.
Yeah, that's right.
J-A-double-R.
Actually, haha, JARRR.
Yeah. I remember when he was in WWE and, or no, when he was in WCW and he'd come out to Kid Rock. Was it Cowboy from Kid Rock?
It was a ripoff of Cowboy.
Yeah. But it had that. I remember doing an interview with Al Snow in a WWE show and they were playing the song from Kid Rock. And they kept turning it up louder and louder while I was interviewing them. And so at the end of the interview, we're yelling at each other to hear each other. And it's like, did they do that on purpose? They're screwing with me. I think, you know, I begin to believe they were. But, the good old days. I don't remember the Outlaw either, but I have to watch that one because I remember it very well. I watched it on TV when it happened. I mean, you can see the video on YouTube of exactly what happens when Jeff Jarrett just lays down. You know, and then you see Hogan, you know, it's a shame they didn't talk to Hogan, but I don't need to see Vince Russo anymore. He still thinks that, you know, what he wrote back in 1996 is stuff that should be on TV nowadays. And I don't think a lot of that stuff would fly. So, you know,
his exact wording recently is that there's no storyline driven anything on TV anymore. So apparently he doesn't watch the Bloodline stuff and no one watches for the matches.
Well, he's the one who pissed everybody off in the world when he would go to commercial break in the matches and come back from commercial break in the matches, you know, people hated that, but that shows you how little you actually value that as part of what's going on by, you know, allowing you to run, you know, oh, I'll just go on during the commercial break. You know, I just, you know, that a lot of people were not very happy with that when they started pitcher in pitcher. You can get away with that now, that works. But so this past week, and some other news, I know we got to hurry this up a little bit. MJF and Adam Cole will now be in the main event of All In, which show is going to be August 27th. It's at the end. It's a Sunday, August 27th, at the end of the month, from London, England, at Wembley Stadium. It probably will be the biggest crowd in the history of pro wrestling. And I'm even saying that more
outside
than
North Korea.
Well, that's right, because I was going to say Detroit.
It might have been robots.
Yeah, Detroit was kind of like more of like a set. I don't know. The real number was lower.
Detroit's not even WWE's biggest. Biggest show anymore. They go with Dallas now.
Oh, with the WrestleMania in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, so what do you think about the All In main event? Do we get best friends, you know, still, or, you know, is this end, this change the relationship by the end of it?
I don't know what to think. I mean, I would like to see it as Adam Cole turning on MJF, like, using a dirty tactic in the match. I have to believe at this point, even though I don't want it, that Roddy Strong will be somewhat involved.
He's going to be, obviously, after he tore up the backstage area last week.
Yeah. He was really, really upset at a couple guys just being friendly with each other. But I mean, it definitely, it's over in terms. I mean, I think people are very excited about that match itself. I don't know. I mean, maybe Cole could win him and then drop it back or something like that. You wonder what's going to happen a week after that. That's always, when you try to predict these things. And I don't know. I kind of wish they were announcing matches for All Out and then All In was more of a surprise thing, and, you know, before then. But
well, we do have one match for All Out. It's Luchasaurus and Darby Allin for the TNT title. So, of course, you're assuming that he holds it still after All In, I guess, you know. But, you know what? I don't want
Punk and MJF at All Out. I'll say that.
Okay, I agree. What do you think, Danger? It's something at least. We've had nothing until this week, and now we got something.
Yeah, at least we got something. They don't need to really announce too much. They sold the tickets based on the fact they're going over there. There's not that many more to sell. So it's going to be good to see what, you know, to know what we're going to see. At the same time, they don't have to put out everything crazy. They don't need to just like jumble everything together, but I prefer them not to do what they do sometimes, which is just randomly announce things the week before or the show before.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
but I also prefer them not to have 14 matches on the show either.
Yeah, I'm scared. You got a big crowd.
I agree with that, but I feel like for whatever reason, like this would be the, if there was a show that had to go longer than the others, this is the one I would pick to do that. Because I will feel bad for people that don't get to wrestle there that have been a big part of the company. And for us in America, like on the East Coast, it's a 1 o'clock show. It's a noon 0 hour. Like, I don't care. Give me wrestling throughout the afternoon. It's not like it's late night.
Oh, I agree. When I saw it was 1 o'clock, it's like, oh yeah, that's you're all done by seven, you know, maybe, you know, six or seven.
I still hope it's earlier than that, but yeah, I mean, it'll be a good afternoon. I'm looking forward to that. I may have peaked today and see what flight costs were, but I don't think there's any chance of pulling it off. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, we've got that to build up for another few weeks, so maybe they'll have a few more matches. But we got one at least. Some other news. WWE revealed that federal agents executed a search warrant and served a federal grand jury subpoena to Vince McMahon on July 17th. Statement is listed under legal proceedings in the second quarter. Legal proceedings in the second quarter financial report, and adds that no charges have been filed. The company had received a voluntary and compulsory legal demands for documents, including from from the federal law enforcement and regulatory agencies concerning the investigation and related subject matters. So what they're saying is that Vince insider trading, is that what they're assuming?
No, they're looking to make sure that he didn't misappropriate company funds to pay off his NDAs and whatnot.
I thought he already got busted for that stuff. You know,
not by the SEC though. That was all WWE related. WWE pushed for all that stuff. It's not anything that was related to the SEC or whatnot. So that's what they're looking into.
So
I wonder if there's a little bit more to it though, like other scandals or like women that we haven't heard of yet or other things. I don't know. I will say that it's interesting that that happened and then this whole rumor got snuck out there or report that he had this life-changing spinal surgery a couple days later. It just kind of reeks of him showing up to a steroid trial in a neck brace.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, oh, you got to get sympathy for Vince. You know, it's like he's in a neck brace.
Interesting timing.
Yeah, big time. So we'll hear more about it as they go on. But you don't want to mess with the SEC, man. I'll tell you that. I mean, he could. Depending on what
conference in college football, yeah,
I did that too. But Securities Exchange Commission, you mess with them, you go to jail for 40 years. You know, it's like, so we'll see whatever they're looking for eventually, I guess. So yeah, I mentioned that right before we had the landmark 200th episode of AEW Dynamite, Tony Khan announced the EVPs Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, and as well as Hangman Adam Page, have signed long term extensions with AEW, and kudos to them. We talked about it a while ago, so I just kind of reading it as I'm going. I didn't do a really good job at editing the news this week because I didn't have time, and my office was compromised because they were putting a 25,000 pound air conditioning unit on the roof and they would not let us go work in our offices, so I had to work in another room that I didn't have a computer, and I couldn't do everything. Okay. So we're going to talk Saturday night's edition of AEW Collision. We mentioned earlier CM Punk, Ricky Starks for the Real World Championship.
The rest of the card looks awesome. Yeah. Just don't care about that match.
Yeah. With Ricky Steamboat, FTR, are going to take on Big Bill and Brian Cage. And I like Big Bill and Brian Cage since, I first saw him. It's like, that looked like a really good tag team. You know, we get Chris Stratlander versus Mercedes Martinez for the TBS title and the Acclaimed speak.
Finally.
Yeah, I know.
Need some answers. Really need some answers.
Listen.
All right. I got
to
run.
We'll see you, Rob. See you guys. Yep, talk to you. If you're watching AEW Rampage in about half an hour, you get to see Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli versus Best Friends in a parking lot brawl, which was filmed at Daly's Place in Jacksonville. So is it going to be like the parking lot brawl we saw with Fit Finley versus Steven Regal? Remember that one?
I think it's going to be more like the one you saw with the Best Friends and Santana and, the Pride and Powerful, whatever. I can't remember the other guy's name.
I know you're talking about.
They haven't been on TV in like a year, so.
Yeah. Oh, it's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, hopefully it's something not too bad. But we also got, and listen, this is only an hour show, so how much of that is it going to take? But we got Keith Lee, Matt Hardy, and Jeff Hardy versus Kip Sabian, The Butcher and The Blade, Anna Jay versus Sky Blue, Swerve Strickland, and AR Fox in action. So I don't know what that means, but they're in
action. Probably tag team match against some jobbers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah, like go get to really heal out. So WWE had their second quarter a press conference this past week. Nothing jumped out at me. Apparently, made good money. So I mean,
the amount of money they made off their premium live events gates is insane.
Yeah, yeah, it was a 25% increase, which is insane. There you go. You can spend it on bringing some bigger names in. No, they're all there already. So yeah, they. They talked about, they talked in the press conference about the Money in the Bank and at the O2 in London and how it was the highest grossing arena event in company history, which O2 is nothing small, that's for sure. I remember it pretty well. So, but it was, nothing nothing significant. No Vince McMahon involvement in this press conference either. So because he's
on medical leave.
Yeah, he's got back issues. Even though apparently he's still calling into all the shows and like saying, "I don't want this. I want this." So he's still manipulating what's going on. This last week's Raw. This is the last show before SummerSlam, and it actually looks like it dropped a little bit from the week before. It's 1.75 million, and the other one was 1.81 the week before. So I don't know. Was there anything up against it? I can't think of anything going on right now except for the Women's World Cup, and I don't think that was against it, though. So let's see. I already mentioned the matches on AEW Collision, so that's going to be good. Let's see. Wardlow. I saw news about this today. Wardlow talked about why he's been away from AEW, and it was apparently he has depression issues, and he was unable to wrestle since his last time in which he dropped the title to Luchasaurus, and that was back, when was that, in June? Yeah, sometime in June.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, kudos to him. I mean, you know, everyone, depression sucks, and I feel bad for anybody who has to deal with it. So I don't have any more, much more news on here. Is there anything I missed that we should talk about? I'm trying to think. I mean, we lambasted the spray paint axe, we got tomorrow SummerSlam. A lot of wrestling going on. You can actually DVR Collision and watch it after SummerSlam. But SummerSlam, you know, it'll probably go pretty late. I hope so, at least. I don't want to miss too much of the roller derby stuff going on tomorrow. But, yeah, we got a lot of wrestling coming up in the next week or so. And I just want to give you a heads up, folks. We're just going to about get done here. But I want to give you a heads up that next week will probably be Thursday night, possibly, just because I'm going to be in Ohio Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So hopefully we'll have some great results from SummerSlam to talk about. I want to thank you, Danger, for being here. Thank you so much for doing this on a Friday night. You know, we none of us have lives, obviously. We do it on a Friday night.
At least not on Fridays.
No, and I want to thank all you guys in the chat room. Thanks, Mike Champion, George Rogers, all you guys down there. Stream of thought posting, that's what I call it, George, and I appreciate it. I read them all, so... Danger, you have a great night. You guys in the chat room, thank you so much. But look for us on Facebook to tell you when we're going to be. It's probably going to be Thursday night, so I'm just going to give you a heads up on that now. But it's still recorded. You can always find it at iTunes every week and in all your favorite podcast depots out there. iHeart, it's on iHeart. I don't even work for iHeart, and it's on iHeart still. So, you know, so everyone have a great weekend and check out our website too, thepainclinic.net, and we'll see you next week, probably Thursday night. Have a great rest of your evening. And I got out before the end of SmackDown, so we can't give any more spoilers away if you're not watching it. So we'll see you next week, folks.